It's good, dear friends, to see you tonight. And we trust that the Lord will bless you with a sense of his presence and to some with the joy of his salvation. Regarding those prayer meetings, please do take them seriously. Any movement of the Spirit in history was always sponsored by sacrificial prayer. There is one part in our world where they are seeing revival. It's in a Muslim area, in a place called Athlone in South Africa. And if you were to go there 5:30 on Saturday morning, you would see a large number of men and women on their knees crying to God. And they have learnt the art of prayer. Now let's pray, beloved friends in Christ, that this challenge may be accepted and we shall find ourselves in that prayer room on Wednesday at 7:00 calling to God for blessing. I think that's very important. And then the other matter that I'd like to raise is this. We do need to have the homes of God's people open. And if some of our sisters and brethren could get to work to invite their neighbors in for a cup of coffee in the morning or tea in the afternoon. And it doesn't matter if there's just two. If we can share the gospel in the home atmosphere, I'm sure God will bless it. So please do try and get to work and work on your neighbors. And then the last thing I want to say is this. It's good to see a lovely number. But may I ask you all, please, to feel burdened about bringing a friend with you. And I'm sure if we could do that, we're going to see blessing. We thank God for blessing given last night. We want to give him all the glory for that. And I'm sure the Lord's going to give us blessing this evening. Now, shall we turn to Psalm 51? Psalm 51. And there's one little verse there which the Lord has laid on my heart and I want to share with you for a few minutes. Psalm 51, and we shall read from verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Now God will bless to us the reading of that precious portion of his word. Every thoughtful person in Britain is alarmed at the violence that is breaking out in this country. Quite recently, a leading politician has told the nation that we need a change of heart. Now, that is right, but where do you get it? Can a person go into a chemist shop and get the change of heart? In the realm of surgery, they can give people a kidney transplant. Sometimes they can give you a heart transplant. But can we give man a change of heart? That is impossible. And therefore, Psalmist David, when he had fallen into a deep sin, he not only asked God for forgiveness, but he actually prayed this prayer, and I want you to listen. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Now, my dear friends, I want to say this as quickly as I can. If that prayer can be answered, it is the most amazing thing that God can do in the human family. If it is possible for God to create within us a clean heart, that is miraculous. Can he do it? Now, my dear friends, I want to say this emphatically. He can do it. He is doing it with thousands and millions, and he can do it with you tonight if you will let him. And so I want to examine this phrase word by word tonight. And therefore, we're going to speak on the first word, create, the only conclusion. The word create basically means to create something out of nothing. And this is totally beyond man. Man can make, he can renovate, he can repair, he can bring into a state of newness. But there is one thing that man cannot do, and he will never be able to do, and that is to create. When God created the heaven and the earth, before he created, there was no matter or substance there. And out of nothing, he created something. Now, is it possible for God to be able to put in man's life something that's not there? Thank God he can. And if I may say this quickly, he is able to put into that little life of yours tonight a completely new life that was never there before. In fact, that life is so new that it doesn't come from the sphere of earth. It actually comes from the sphere of heaven. And therefore, he uses this word, create. Now, what basically does it mean when he says, create in me a clean heart? We can understand, in a little measure, God creating the heaven and the earth, and God creating man. But what does it mean when it says, create in me a clean heart? Well, my dear friends, the scripture says this. If any man be in Christ, now note the word, he is a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. Basic Christianity is not superficial renovation. Basic Christianity is a new creation. And therefore, when a person becomes a Christian, God inwardly makes him absolutely new, but more than that. God joins him up with a new society, which is called the Church of God. And therefore, when a person becomes a Christian, that person is made inwardly absolutely new. Now, that is a fact. The Lord Jesus, when speaking to a religious ruler whose name was Nicodemus, said to him quite frankly, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh," meaning it was totally corrupt, "and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." But please do remember this. When a person is born of a spirit, it is not natural, it's not physical, it's not mental, but it's heavenly. And therefore, the term being born again should be translated, according to the original Greek, as born from above. And therefore, when God produces this new creation in our life, it is something entirely new, and it finds its origin right in heaven, and it's the exclusive product of God. That is why conversion is not an encounter with a religious sect. Conversion is not an encounter with a preacher. Now grip this, friends. Conversion is the product of God wrought in a man's life. But then I want you now to see the nature of this new creation. When a man is born again and when he has the new creation, and I want to say this with a spirit of reverence, it is the greatest thing that God will ever do. God created the heaven and the earth. Now that was a marvelous creation, but not the greatest. One day the world in which we live is going to be burned by fire. In fact, it's going into oblivion. And he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. But that will not be his greatest work. One day Jesus Christ is going to come, and he's going to come very soon. And Christians' bodies will be changed from the body of humiliation to the body of glory. That will be a great creation. But friends, I want to say this with my heart worshiping with joy. When God comes into a man's life and he's born from above, that's the greatest thing that God will ever do. And isn't it wonderful, in this little place that man has made, God can produce his greatest work in someone's heart tonight. Create. Have you got it? Secondly, I want you to note it's not only the only conclusion, it's the only person create in me. In me. You will notice the word in, which is vital, for I believe that unless we see the sphere of God's operation, we shall never understand the wonder of this new creation. He didn't say create all around me as though the environment was wrong. He didn't say this, that look, if the atmosphere and the environment and the social order was better, I would never fall into sin. The old pre-war philosophers made that blunder, didn't they? He didn't say, Lord, my trouble is a physical and a mental one. If I had a stronger body, if my intellect was greater, I would never have fallen into sin with Bathsheba. But he says, Lord, my trouble is in me. It's in my heart. It's in my spirit. It's in my soul. It's in the woof of my being. That's our problem. Our problem is not our next door neighbor. Our problem is not to be found in politics. our problem is to be found in us, friends, including the preacher. But he not only sees the sphere of God's operation, he sees the person in whom God wants to operate, and he doesn't say create in all those religionists a new heart. Oh no, doesn't say that. He doesn't say create in Bathsheba, who perhaps may have tempted me. Oh no, don't create in her. He's honest, he's open, he's frank, and he says, create in me. Unless we get this personal aspect of Christianity, we shall never be right with God. We can read the scripture, and when the scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we can nod our heads and say, yes, that's true. Can't deny that. When the scripture looks to a nation and the nation says we have sinned, ah yes, we can look at our nation and say we're in an appalling state. Who can't say that? We have sinned. But my dear friends, if I'm going to be made right with God, I've got to have the honesty to say, I have sinned. It's me. Are you willing for that? You see, when God is going to break into a man's life, he will do exactly with you and with me as he did with the Apostle Paul. A light shone round about him. In other words, heaven was saying, Saul, Saul, I'm concerned with you, and therefore you have to put a ring all around yourself, and you have to ask some very personal questions. Number one, when I was born, was I actually born in sin? The answer is yes. For that's our main problem. We've all got individually an evil nature. Have I really sinned? Have I broken the Ten Commandments, God's moral 11-plus examination that is given to the human race? Of course we have. We have broken the commandments 100 times. In fact, thousands of times. Because then I've broken the commandments, am I in a state of plight before God? A greater plight than we realize. Could I say this emotionally, friends? If our nation knew its plight before God, and if Kilmarnock knew its plight before God, this place would be packed to capacity. Can I give you an illustration to prove my point? In Glasgow, about 20 years ago, they had an X-ray campaign for people that they thought might have TB. And they X-rayed almost just over 1 million people. It was a wonderful piece of medical organization. And after they had X-rayed just over 1 million people, they discovered this, that 5,000 people were walking the streets of Glasgow with active chronic TB, and they didn't know it. Can I tell you something worse? Millions of people are walking the streets of Britain with sin in their lives and with the judgment of God upon them, and they don't know it. You see, the Bible says the whole world is guilty before God. Do we understand that? And there comes a moment in our experience when God puts his holy light around us, and we realize that we have not only personally sinned, but we are personally guilty before God. Now, friends, it's not the will of God that any should perish, but can I tell you this from the scriptures? If you die in your sins, it will be a tragedy that will defy description. Strange what touches your heart. I looked out of my window today, and I saw a hearse, and in that hearse, a coffin. in that coffin a man. And it hit me like this. Where had he gone? Friends, dare I put this question to you in love? If you had a thrombosis tonight and you were plunged into eternity, where would you be? And therefore, this man could say, create in me, but more. Not only does God reveal to us our personal sin and our personal guilt, but he reveals to us his personal love. You see, when Saul of Tarsus saw the light surrounding him, he heard the voice speaking to him. And although the voice revealed to him that he was doing something that was dreadfully wrong, God revealed to him that he loved him. That's why he could say this. He loved me. Gave himself for me. Do you realize that? Dear friends, I want to say this to you with all the love that God can give me tonight, and that is that God infinitely loves you. And God's love has been demonstrated to you not by mere words, but God's love comes to you in the attitude of Calvary. And that's the immensity of God's love for you when Christ died. Dear friends, don't be a member of a congregation tonight. Be an individual before God and pray this little prayer, create in me, Lord. Get there tonight. Now what did he say? Create in me a clean heart. Now what does God mean by the heart? Now you must bear with me whilst I give you just a little theology, because if I do not get this right theologically, we're going astray. What is the meaning of the heart? First of all, the heart is the seat of man's emotions. Therefore, when you hate, it comes from your heart. When you love, it comes from your heart. The extremes of man's emotions find their source right in the heart of man, right in the pith of his being. The heart is the seed plot of man's behavior. You say, what do you mean by that? Every child that's born into this world is born with a heart that is a seed plot of sin, and you will never stop children from sinning. Never. No matter what culture you may bring those children under or what discipline you might give them, you will never stop a child from sinning. Now why? Because right at birth, the seeds of sin have been sown in that child's life. Therefore, the Lord Jesus said this, it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him. When you take food, it doesn't defile you. When you take water, it doesn't defile you. But he said, what comes out of the man's mouth defiles him. And he says, from the heart, there proceeds murder, evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, evil reports, and blasphemies. You see, it's all there in the heart. But more. The heart is the sphere of the Spirit's operation. Now, I want you to grip this. When Peter stood up and preached on the day of Pentecost, we read this, they were pricked in the heart. When Stephen stood up and preached, they were cut to the heart. What does it mean? God's vehicle that he touches in a meeting like this is the very spring, the center of your being. A preacher can get to your head, he can get to your ears, but there is no preacher that can get to your heart. It is the work of the Spirit of God, and only the Spirit of God can get to a man's heart. And sometimes when the preaching is in the power of the Spirit, some people will be pricked. That means their hearts will be touched and they will want to do something to get right with God. Other people are hardened. And this is what the Scripture says. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Now, what is this hardened heart? It's a heart that's lost its sensitivity to God. It's a heart that's become completely deaf to the overtures of the voice of love. It's a heart that has inner eyes that are totally blind. It's a heart that has no sensitivity at all to God. Now here's a word of warning. Britain is on the verge of having a hardened heart. And we're in dreadful danger. Do you know, religiously, we're becoming one of the hardest nations in the world. You say, I still don't understand what you mean. Let me explain. When I was in the Navy, an old stoker used to come round every hour stoking up the fire, and I was disturbed. Couldn't sleep. None of the boys could sleep. After a fortnight, we got a little used to it, and we were disturbed every 2 hours, and we could sleep almost 2 hours without being disturbed. After a month or so, we could almost sleep for 4 hours and not be disturbed. And would you believe it, after 3 months, you could drop a bomb and it wouldn't disturb us. Got it? When we were sensitive and the gospel was preached, it went through us like a knife. Now it seems as though people are getting hard and insensitive. Plead with the Lord to give you a sensitive heart tonight. Say right now, Lord, do not allow me to have a hardened heart. Make me sensitive to the divine voice. You see, in Scripture, there are two kinds of hearts. There's the depraved heart. Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord, looking upon the world in the time of Noah, that the historians call the antediluvian period, he saw the wickedness of man, but he saw something more. He saw the imagination of the thought of the heart was evil continually. You see, the inner spring of man had gone. And that's why he destroyed the earth. There's not one of us that would like our thought life exposed. Not one. If our thought life was exposed on that flank wall, everyone would be ashamed tonight. How right the Scripture is when it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But now look at the alternative. Create in me, oh I love it, a clean, a pure heart. What does that mean? It means, first of all, that God will come and give us such a righteous, holy cleansing that he can cleanse us completely from sinners before his throne. And because he has cleansed us so thoroughly and completely, he will then put into our inner life the Holy Spirit. And forgive me shouting now. He will put within us the seeds of holiness so that a completely new life is implanted within us.
And when a person has been born of God, meaning he's had created within him a clean heart, it means that he has the potential within him to become a beautiful man and a beautiful woman. And that's all that God wants to do. Now note this. Sin disintegrates. It shatters. It blasts. It destroys. God's peace. And because he has cleansed us so thoroughly and completely, he will then put into our inner life the Holy Spirit. And forgive me shouting now, he will put within us the seeds of holiness so that a completely new life is implanted within us. And when a person has been born of God, meaning he's had created within him a clean heart, it means that he has the potential within him to become a beautiful man and a beautiful woman. And that's all that God wants to do. Now note this. Sin disintegrates. It shatters. It blasts. It destroys. God's peace binds man together. Moves me as I say. Makes man whole. So that God can make a beautiful man or a beautiful woman of that person. And when the Spirit of God comes into your life, he brings into you a completely new life so that you have the clean heart. And this is what the scripture says. Whatsoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for he cannot sin, for his seed remains in him. And that means a new nature is instilled into your life by the power of the Spirit that is completely sinless. And therefore a Christian has two natures. He has the old nature with which he was born that is perpetually evil. And he has a new nature that God gives him that's perpetually beautiful. And as we deal with the old nature by crucifixion and allow the new nature to reign, so the loveliness of Christ is seen. One of the most fascinating, beautiful things about Christianity is this. You can look on five Christians, and you look on one, and you can see that one has cultivated the seeds that the Spirit of God brought into them when they were born of God. And friends, you can actually see in that inner personality the loveliness and the beauty of Christ. That's Christianity. It's Christ thinking through our minds, Christ speaking with our lips, serving with our hands, loving in our hearts, walking in our feet. It's Christ reproduced in the body. Can you not now see the beauty of this? Create in me a clean heart. Can I ask a question? Sir, madam, do you want a clean heart? Do you want a clean heart? Do you want a clean heart? I'm sure you do. How do we get it? Oh God. Now again, let me just give you a little more theology. This is vital. The word God there is the word Elohim, and it's exactly the same word that we have in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And therefore, it's the Trinity doing one thing, creating. But if you go through Genesis chapter 1, you will find that God did his creating by authoritative commands. He says, let there be light, and there was light. Let the expanse appear in the midst of the water. And so it did. Let the waters be gathered together in one place under heaven. And so the waters were. Let the sea produce abundantly. And so they did. And then he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And so he did. Ah, but there's a difference. When God created the heaven and the earth and the mighty universe, he looked upon his work from a transcendent position and he said that it was very good and he rested from all his work. That's why the seventh day is hallowed. But when God created the new heart, he couldn't say, let there be a new heart. It meant sacrifice. It meant suffering. And therefore I want to say carefully as before God in the spirit of worship, it costs God far more to create a clean heart than to create the universe. Can I say that again? It costs God more to create the clean heart than to create the universe. And therefore, as our brother was saying so beautifully in his prayer, it meant the Father giving his Son, and therefore we read in Scripture, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. It meant God giving his Son. And when the Son came into this world, he came into this world to do one great masterly job of work, and that was to deal with sin. And when the Lord Jesus was on the cross, God brought together the whole sin of the believing world. He measured meticulously its judgment, and he brought that judgment upon his Son. And when he was bearing that sin, the judgment fell so realistically upon him that he cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then when he had exhausted the holy judgment of God, he leaned back that mighty head and he said, in a way in which it could never be said before or after, finished. And if he ended his work in triumph in creation, he finished it with much more triumph in redemption. And when he said finished, the work was complete. And this is what the scripture says. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And because of that once and for all sacrifice for sin, God can forgive the sinner and he can forgive him once and for all. But that's not the end of the clean heart. Something more was necessary. When the Lord Jesus Christ went back to heaven and he was glorified, he sent the Holy Spirit. Now remember this. The Holy Spirit is as divine as God, co-equal with the Lord Jesus. And note this. The Lord Jesus is at the Father's right hand glorified, but the Holy Spirit's here tonight. Friends, I want to say this with reverence. The Holy Spirit is here. He's here. And do you know what he wants to do? He wants to enter your life tonight so that you might have a clean heart. And there are only two things stopping him from coming into your life. One is your sin. And that can be cleansed by the precious blood. And the other is a stubborn will that has to be broken. And you must desire to have Christ in your life as Savior and Lord. You say, well, I'm ready for that experience. I want a clean heart. But this is the problem. How do I make that point of contact? By one more word. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, almost 300 times do you read that word, oh, in the Psalms. When you read that word, sometimes it's an expression of deep contrition of heart. Oh, God, look on my sins. They're more than the hair of my head. Therefore, when the psalmist says, oh, it was an expression of his guilt before God. Now, if you've got that, you praise God. Secondly, it's an expression of utter weakness. Sometimes when the psalmist says, oh, God, he is expressing his total weakness before an omnipotent God. Sometimes when he uses the word, oh, it's an expression of simple childlike faith. This always moves me, friend, when I tell this story. Our second boy had bronchopneumonia when he was just 6 months old. I came home from a mission with a cold and I gave it to my son. And it went to his chest. And unfortunately, whilst our boy was in this state of pneumonia, a thick London fog fell upon London. The whole of London stopped for 7 days. And we were trying to circulate the air with a towel to allow our little baby to breathe. The doctor was coming in twice a day, sometimes three times a day. And then it was a Thursday, I shall never forget it. It must have been about 4 o'clock. And he called us around the babe. And he said, Mr. and Mrs. Brandon, I'm sorry to tell you, your child is in a dark wood. Little Philip, in a dark wood. He said, I should really have that child taken to hospital, but to just take him outside would probably kill him. He said, I'll come back in an hour's time thinking the child would be dead. And I saw my beloved wife do this. When he had gone, gently, motherly, she lifted up the baby. Gently, she hugged the child to her breast, and she said this, oh, God, oh, God, touch him. And he did. That's it. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, God. Who's going to pray that now? Let's pray. Lord, as we're bowed in thy presence, we desire to worship thee for the mighty miracle of the clean heart. Oh, we bless thee for those here tonight who can actually sing, what a wonderful change in my heart has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. But Lord, there are some of our friends, and we love them in Christ,
and their hearts are still sinful. Their hearts are unclean. Their hearts are under condemnation. And we pray that there might rise from someone's soul tonight that lovely prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And in this very building where we are now bowed, O God of glory, perform that miracle, we beseech thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.